Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode, 202? 202 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Connect Roasters. ConnectRoasters.com for all of your coffee needs. We got two coats.
I don't have any notes in front of me.
We have two coats. Listen to this. Zero percent chance. Listen. Code Compound for 25% off your first Home Run Club order. Home Run Club gets shipped straight to your door. One, two, however many bags of coffee you want a month, straight to your door once a month. And then we got code COMPOUND15 for 15% off site-wide, whatever you want. I killed that. You're welcome.
That was very good. I hope whoever's watching on YouTube just watch Ian's eyes, because you could see during the Home Run Club, you're kind of like, I think it's this one. I think this is right. I'm going to go.
I had it. I'm dialed. ConnectRoasters.com for all of your coffee needs. Got a lot to talk about. We had opening day.
Ian.
ZS21, those hands don't sleep. That's a great shirt. Zach's a zombie. It's late where he is. Zach, what happened today? You guys got postponed?
Hang on. I got to shout out Obvious Shirts for the shirts. He's the man. Joe's the man. He tweeted about Zach getting a new number literally the same day he texted me and said, what's your address? I'll send you a shirt. Sends me two shirts. One with this, and then the other one is like the classic ZS in orange, 2-1 in white, Obvious Shirts, GOAT.
Are you wearing an Obvious shirt over like a quarter zip?
I literally put it on for the episode. I had a quarter zip on for work.
That's an amazing look.
I was like, I got to do it. And Zach loves it.
What happened today?
Honestly, there really wasn't much that they could do because the weather the next 2 days is brutal. So it's not like you can just bang this one early and be like, we'll just play tomorrow. But we both have an off day Thursday. So we're losing that. And they're scheduling today's game to Thursday. And then tomorrow we have a regular scheduled game, and we're thinking that may get banged as well. So we're probably going to have to move Thursday to a doubleheader.
We might get snowed out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Snow?
How long were you at the field today?
I was there for 9 hours today. Without playing a game.
Zach's tone right now is just
I'm so tired.
Corpse.
It's just like
he's a corpse.
I've actually had a pretty good routine because we've had day games and we only had one night game, so I've been going to sleep pretty early. But again, it wasn't really anybody's fault. They tried, because like the weather didn't even look, I mean, it looked like it was going to rain, but nothing, just kind of constant mist all day, but it never really got light enough where they could be like, we can start this game.
Is there anything worse than sitting at the field for 5, 7, 9 hours and then losing the off day that would have been completely off? You wouldn't have had to go to work. You could have done whatever you wanted. There is nothing worse than that.
It was honestly, I don't want to say nice, but I wasn't playing today. So I didn't have like the,
there's never the stress of like,
yeah. And like, I gotta, I don't know when I need to get going. Cause like Pete, you know, Alonzo was like, yeah, I'm going to go hit, you know, like they said at one point, say, like, hey, no earlier than 8:10. And then it was like, hey, no earlier than 8:40. And then like he hit at one point and I'm like, like he was getting ready to go. And like, I had my stuff on, but I was like, I'm not obviously going to go hit if the starters are going to get ready. So like I did my routine early. And then I didn't touch a bat again until later. I'm like, I mean, I'm not getting hot to do nothing. And then if they think that we're going to play soon, everyone's going to rush in there. So it was kind of like a, you know, kind of do other things, you know, get a lift in, do whatever. And then
at any point were you full uni batting gloves on holding a bat?
No, I've been in a really good spot hitting, so I haven't needed to do that. I don't have a bat or anything near me right now.
Oh, my God.
That leads us into your first ever Mets at bat, base knock.
Yeah, thumb's a little sore from it still.
Hammered it. The thing is, that
was a sick backside knock. Keep in the air.
Dude, telling you, man. Since spring started, I haven't been able, or I've opened up right field. Like, a majority of my hits have been over there, and it's just like a whole new world over there.
I tweeted about it, and I said that you hit a laser, and I was trying to find a video of it so that people would get that I was being sarcastic, but I think people just thought it was actually a laser, and I was like, well,
that's right.
It is in the books.
What do you mean? Never heard that saying?
What was the angle below?
Like 74, something like that.
That's so good.
Did you see it, Ian? It's a knock.
Dude.
It's a great piece of hitting.
If you can hit the ball between 70 and 85 in that launch window where you hit it, that is a perfect swing. That is off the barrel, perfect path.
Also,
go ahead.
I was just going to say it was smart of you, and I'm sure you guys know this, but I've always thought, at least in my head as a pitcher, the first pitch after a homer, because Alvarez hit a bomb right before you, like, that's usually like you're getting a pitch to hit.
Mine was second pitch, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, just forget I'm watching. Damn it. I wasn't. I couldn't. I was working at the time. I was trying to watch on my phone while working and not get caught. So,
did you guys see Mike Trout's homer in Miami?
Which one?
Dude,
he's back.
The 470 something foot.
I think it was 72.
Bomb. Bro, that ball where it landed in left center on top of that. Like, Soler has hit the back of the glass before, but like, I've never seen someone go up there.
How fun would a real throwback Mike Trout season be? Like, just like a classic 2015, 2016.
I can't take.
You can't say throwback.
I can't take Mike Trout slander.
That's not slander.
He's good.
The guy hasn't.
I can't take it.
The guy hasn't played more than 80 games in 5 years. Wait,
did he only play 82 games last year? Yes, but he still hit 18 half a season, 18 pumps. 858 OPS with a 131. Just because we expect Mike Trout to have a 170, 131 OPS plus, okay, in half a season. Can we go back? I'm just going to start reading OPS pluses. 168, 179, 169, 176, 173, 186, 198, 182, 167, 194, 176. This guy is the best player to ever play the game.
For those at home, 100 is MLB average.
He is between 75 and 100% better than everybody else playing the game.
Also, I'm sure you guys saw this, but like when the MLB did their top 100 and he was 19th, like even other players were like, this list is now like, not that it really meant that much before, but it's like, this means nothing. If you're telling me Mike Trout is 19th.
I mean, it's absolutely gross to me. Absolutely gross. Yes, I hope Mike Trout plays 150 to 160 games this year. That would be unbelievable for baseball. But this guy is incredible. He was an all-star last year. He's been an all-star literally every year of his career except for 2020. And guess what? There was no game.
I saw a tweet that someone said they think he'll be on the Braves at the deadline. I was like, that just won't be fair.
I mean, yeah.
Hopefully he's
to play left field.
Probably, yeah.
That homer was really impressive. I love watching Mike Trout home runs. That's all I'm going to say about that.
He's just so good.
Can we get one of you guys to hit a homer so I can start my tracker up, please? I mean, Ian, you've got 58 hits, I think, already, but no homers. So
the Cubs hit four pumps today. The wind was blowing like sideways, kind of like to right field. And Seiya Suzuki hit a ball 115 miles an hour at a 16-degree launch angle. So for people out there, that is really, 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 really hard and really low. And it got out of the park to like left, not to left, left, like left center. It was an absolute rocket. But Cubbies hit four homers today after the wind was blowing dead in our face yesterday. But, you know, I'm early season Wrigley. I'm keeping it low, keeping the ball low.
How about Imanaga?
Showed
nasty, nasty man. We had it on in the office, and I was locked in. I was like, "This." Oh, guy.
The driveline folks were probably fired up. Like, look at the bird. Look at the bird.
Dude, he looked so good.
Back to a hitter, really quick. Mookie has 5 homers already.
Yeah. He had more. I actually meant to put that as a note. I think, I don't know if he still does, but through like 4 games, he had more home runs than swings and misses. And I was like, well, that's just unbelievable.
That's pretty good. That's being dialed. Yeah. I mean, he's launching balls early.
Playing shortstop.
Playing shortstop, launching shit. He's going to have a 10 war. If he plays shortstop all year and hits like this, he's going to have a 10 war.
How cool is that, too, that he's just like, yeah, I'll play short.
Sure. And like, do it.
Throw me anywhere. Yeah. Like,
that's different.
You can't just stick someone at short and be like, oh, they're a good athlete. They'll be fine. Like, no, that's a super important position. Yeah. Like, they have to be really good.
I mean, he's legitimately one of the best athletes on the planet. The dude's like an incredible bowler. Have you seen his wide receiver like mixtape? I mean, the guy can just seems like he's one of those guys that picks up a sport and you're like, oh, you're just instantly good at it. That's sick.
Tom, like for you to start that sentence with, he is one of the best athletes in the world, and then to go straight to bowling was a hilarious move by you.
Second best sport is bowling.
Not like have you seen him like shoot a basketball, swing a golf club, run a football route? You went like directly to bowling.
Listen, let's see you and him bowl, and then you can come.
No, he's a very good bowler. I'm not saying that he's not. I'm just saying to use the word athlete and then to go to bowling was a little bit of a bananas.
You're getting the bowling crowd coming.
Ian, that's
I don't know if I don't know if we have a big bowling contingent, you know, but it is.
They're calling in. The voicemail line is on fire from all the.
A little bit bananas.
He can swing it too with the golf club. I mean, he's no
IHA's
ES2-1, but.
He's got a good golf swing. Dakota, what's on your list? What else is on your list? Wait, can I say something about Shota really quick?
For sure.
Shota went 6 innings, 9 punchies.
2 hits.
No walks.
And no hits. No base runner until 5 2/3
into the game. But yes, but the no walks thing for like a day when the wind was blowing in at Wrigley to like be in the zone that much, not walking anybody. McMahon had a really good like 12 pitch at bat, and then he went to a splitter, left on left splitter to punch him out. It's pretty nasty. His mix is really good, but it was fun to watch. And then Assad today was disgusting, which was
so good.
Also fun to watch. He is obviously like with our rotation, we didn't kind of know how Assad was going to fit in with JMO healthy, and then Assad ended up getting that fifth starter spot, and like, dude, he's gross.
It's so cool for him and Wicks that, like, obviously you never want people injured or anything like that, but with Tyon being out right now, like, they have that opportunity to be like, we belong here, like, you need us, like, and that's sick. Like, that's really, that's all you can ask for as a whatever 24 or 25 year old, however old they are.
Yeah. And now Steely's down for a little bit, so it's going to give those guys an opportunity to be in there. So
Ian, be honest. Did you shit yourself when the home run noise went off at Globe Life?
Yes, every time.
For those who don't know,
every time
if they hit a home run in Texas, the guys rounding the bases, and all of a sudden they fire off like this firework thing, and it is the most obnoxious, loud inside. It is so, you know it's coming, and every single time you get a little jump and you just look around, and you're just like, it's like when you get hit in the head with a basketball for like 5 seconds, you're sitting there, you're just like,
it's like a stun grenade.
Yeah, and you just sit there and you're like, God, that's so annoying. But it's
there's a lot of stadiums that blow off fireworks, and I continue to get surprised by them every time. Like Milwaukee will do it with the roof closed. I just get like shocked by it. But that one, they've hit 4 or 5 homers in the series. Every time it went off, I went like, fuck. Every time.
You wait. You can even look at it. It's right near the scoreboard, and it's just like, it's too late.
Cool ballpark, though.
Sick, dude.
It was loud. It was loud. There was that first game, we went to extras on opening day, and obviously, like, opening day there, roof closed, sold out. It was loud.
I always, whenever I play there, I have I'm going to say a hard time, but like a little tougher time seeing spin there. I don't know if the lights are really bright, but like the ball looks pretty white for the most part there. I remember I faced Heaney there last year, and I had a really tough time picking up spin on his slider. Everything kind of just looked like a white blob.
Their lineup's pretty deep.
Lineup is good.
It's gross.
They're a good team.
Before I start my list, Ian sick at bat against Leclerc in the ninth to take the lead. I was watching that live. That was
a good one. I never faced him before. He's got a pretty crazy mix because he throws four seam, two seam, really good changeup. He's got a cutter and a slider.
Isn't it fun when closers have five pitches?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
I was talking with one of our hitting coaches about this because we had our sheet and he was like, this is so much information. Like, what do you got? Like, what do you look at? And I was like, honestly, if a guy has, you know, three different heaters like that, I just group them into one. I don't know if we've talked about this before where it's like, obviously, you know, they're kind of going just a little bit different ways. But like, if you're thinking about legitimately five different pitches, you're going to be in, it's tough to, so like, yeah. I'll group them. Usually I'll look at as two or three most if they're all very similar. But like, if a guy is, you know, 60% one thing, 30% one thing and 10% something else, I'm like, all right, I'm just like, he's a two pitch guy to me until he shows it otherwise. So like if a guy has five pitches like that, you know, and they're all kind of sporadically together, I'll group the harder ones together and then see what his kind of most used soft spin is.
Do you ever see the data or like even just watch the video and see like, okay, this cutter has a little more horizontal break than others, like just so you know, like, hey, that's like almost a slider.
Yeah, so like, that's what that'll help me too. So like I'm like, all right, I'm treating that as a slider and not a cutter. Like it says slider on there or whatever, but or you know, vice versa. But yeah, I'll watch the video and I'm like, all right, he may go to that with two strikes because it's more of a slider than it is like, hey, get off the heater, get off the heater cutter.
If they're the tight little ones, it's rare. Sorry, Ian, to cut you off again. If they're like the tight little ones, I think it's more rare, especially right on right, that they do it for strikeouts.
Yeah, right.
It's also like I do it with video now with numbers, but like you can have a cutter that plays more horizontal like a slider, but you can also have a cutter or a slider that plays more downer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to kind of treat all those pitches differently. But I'll sometimes group by like movement, like if it's arm side, like if it's change up and a sinker, or if it's a cutter and like a kind of angled four type of thing. And like with a guy like Leclerc, like he's throwing all those pitches kind of at like 25-30%. Like they're all, he'll use them all. And sometimes he'll throw you kind of what I saw in the video is sometimes he'll go like four change up at bat. And then sometimes he'll go like two seam cutter at bat. Like you're not sure exactly what he's going to go to. Sometimes he'll only be using two of them, but it's pretty, when you go up there and a guy's 20% across the board over five pitches, it's like,
it's hard.
Isn't it fun when they throw a cutter at, we'll say 91 and it moves like 3 inches. And then they also have a sweeper that is the same profile, but moves 15 inches. And you're like, those look like the exact same things.
Well, that's one's what he 91, did.
He one's me, 82.
I think he threw me a cutter for a ball. Like it was a good cutter just down and in. And I took it. And then the next pitch, he threw me a slider for a strike, and I was ahead of it and swung and missed. But I was like, I just saw the cutter at 91, and then he throws me the fucking slider at 85 or 84, which is like a really good pitch to hit, but not after you see the cutter. It's not.
Yeah, because they look the same, and you're like, how can I tell the difference until it's too late?
We'll get you right back into this week's compound, but first, it's time to talk about our friends from DraftKings. It is officially time for fans to head to the ballpark and root for their home team as baseball season gets underway. You may have heard of it if you listen to this podcast. Get in on the action early this season with our partners at DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, all new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Don't forget to use our code COMPOUND. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers who use the promo code COMPOUND and bet just $5 on any wager can get $150 in bonus bets instantly. The promo code COMPOUND only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/baseball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, let's get to your list.
First one I had, I feel like it was one of the bigger stories, was the Mets-Brewers scuffle with Rhys Hoskins sliding in to Jeff McNeil and Shorty's debut with the Mets and benches clear in the fifth inning or whatever it was.
Zach, I have two questions.
Yes.
One, were you the first one out of the dugout trying to tackle somebody? And two, opening day benches clearing is pretty rare.
Dude, so me and two other guys were in the cage, and it was kind of later in the game. And
like, hey, I got to get my swings in, man. Got to get my swings in.
So you only have the overhead view, and we didn't see it. And all of a sudden, like, you see, kind of see the play, and you see Jeff standing over Hoskins, and we're like, oh, that's weird. And then you can hear the crowd kind of, like, get louder and louder, and we're like, no way. And like, you can see it. So like, we all three of us are just like kind of sprinting out there, and we're getting it as like, it's kind of getting broken up, but like, we didn't know what you could not see on the TV. All you have is the overhead view, and then, you know, you go back and you can see it on the replay or whatever. And then, I mean, the crowd went nuts after that, and I was like, oh, we're winning this game. Ended up not winning the game, but fireworks on opening day for multiple reasons.
I will say, and neither of you have to comment on this, Zach definitely doesn't, it's kind of crazy to me that Rhys Hoskins slides in late like that into his legs, and then he is the one, like, backing away, calling McNeil a crybaby. It's like, no, you slid in late and almost took him out. Like, you don't get to be the good guy here. Like, you were the one in the wrong. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not. Ian, perchance, let's go to
I think the biggest thing is that they've had a history together before, especially Rhys in Philly, and Jeff, you know, people were saying it's been a few years of it, and I think it was just kind of, you know, striking a nerve for the most part.
For sure.
That's where I
I said it's a great answer. Did you give that one to the media?
They didn't ask me shit. But that's where I think it kind of got, I don't want to say a little bit overblown, but like, it could have gotten ugly. Like, Jeff's,
for sure.
I mean, like, he went, you know, Jeff's knee kind of buckled. And like, anytime, again, like, it's tough. Like, in today's day, like, we are so protected. But again, like, I don't know if in that situation, if he just went through the bag, you know, like, went through Jeff's legs, I think it would have kind of like been like, oh, all right, I was kind of late. But like, you always, no matter where it is, like, a tumble is always, like, in the NFL, like, if a quarterback gets rolled up on, it's like, that's not good. Like, we don't like that. And that's where I think Jeff, again, they've had history, you know, the rolling, it's just a tough situation all the way around. And
that's what I mean, like, with my point of, like, Hoskins, like, slid in a little late, and it was like, okay, like, why, like, I get McNeil, or Jeff McNeil was, like, pissed about it and like saying shit to him, I'm sure. But then, like, if you're Rhys Hoskins, like, it just surprised me, like, how heated he was, like, in return. And I'm like, dude, you're the one that slid in late. Like, that was, I don't know, it was just kind of crazy to me.
I think the other weird part too, and like, the, I actually have, I mean, you obviously, Zach and like, both Zach and Ian can make much better calls on the slide. I didn't have as much of an issue with the slide. I personally like guys trying to break up the double play, but that's a conversation for a different time. I did think it was a tough look for Hoskins, though, when McNeil was standing right in front of him to say nothing, and then to go back to the dugout and start doing the wah.
Yes.
First off, wah, weak burn. Not a very good diss. To just mimic crying of a baby is not a very good diss. But then also to not do it to his face, but then do it when you're standing 100 feet away from him with all your teammates around and, like, with no chance that there's any repercussions for it, kind of a tough look for Rhys, I thought.
Can I say one thing about that?
Mm-hmm.
Because suspensions are handed out so readily now, Like if you get in his face and start something and something happens, then you're looking at like 1, 2, 3 games.
Fair.
You're out of that game, which is a close game, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're out of that game, which is a close game. And you're probably sitting for at least 1, maybe 3 days. So like now you can't start anything on the field. Like you can't get into somebody's face. You can't like, cause if you do it, you're hurting the team. And like, that's tough.
To Tom's point about breaking up the double play, I do agree. I'm in on that, like trying to break up double play. My issue was more if your slide finishes you through the base that way, that's a little too much for me. And Zach, I don't know, like not in this particular instance, but like in general, would you say that's kind of the case? Like if you're finishing and like your legs are getting like behind second base, like it's a little.
I mean, deep. I think it all just depends on like how you do it and when you start it, because like, even like Mendy said in his post game, it's like, it's kind of, you know, it was a legal slide. Like you're allowed to hold on to the base. But again, like the rolling up, and I think it's tough. Like if someone, like if you've had a history with somebody and it's like anything that, you know, it's gonna sting, it's gonna hurt more. It's just gonna, you know, but
for sure.
Yeah. That, it's just the
history made it a bigger thing, because like you said, like if it's just two guys that have never played against each other before, it's probably like a, what the hell was that? Like that was a little late, man, versus the whole incident. Now I'd like to move on to the next part of it. You can't throw at a guy 4 at bats into a game. If you're going to send a message, you do it the first at bat, not after he hits a homer and a double.
Then I don't know what happened. I don't know. It was not on purpose. The ball slipped. Like he went after the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But like if Severino hits him in the first inning, he's done.
Yes. I'm not saying. Yeah. Yes, I mean, it's, but I think there's ways of making it less obvious. Like that ball was 5 feet behind him versus like you hit him in the elbow. I don't think you get thrown.
I mean,
out.
If you throw something behind him, it's better than hitting him.
No, because behind you can't. I don't think you can fight.
He could have broke his elbow. You hit him in the elbow.
Elbow guard.
He doesn't wear one.
Should have worn one for that game. Ian, go ahead.
We were watching it in the clubhouse when it happened. And one of the things that Reese did after, I like Reese a lot. One of the things Reese did after was he basically said, like, if you're going to hit me in the ass. Like, if you're going to hit me, hit me low, hit me in the hip, hit me in the thigh. Like, don't throw it up here, which it's completely understandable. Like, if you're going to hit somebody, like, just make sure that it's, you know, in the middle of the body, preferably the butt. And like that. So as a hitter, like when that ball starts coming up and in, like it is terrifying. And like, that's, you know, that's not exactly how you do it. But
yes,
I, like for like game state, like I didn't have a problem with like game state, like, but just keep it low.
I shouldn't have said elbow. I should have said more like right in the ass, but
yeah,
like, and he honestly, like you said, like Reese took it well too. Like I get what Zach has to say. There's zero doubt in my mind. It's intentional. Zero. I would say 100% it was on purpose, but if you're going to do it, like you said, I just think you do it earlier versus late in the game when you're down 7-1 and he's hit a homer.
And you can't then, do it earlier. You can't. Then your starter's out of the game, and then you completely screw your bullpen, and then the team's messed for 3 days.
I don't.
What's the next
topic? I don't know if you're getting tossed right away.
Next topic.
You're 100% getting tossed.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure we had a base open with 2 outs, too.
I think you got to let the boys police themselves sometimes.
Yeah, but that's not where baseball is today. It's just not.
True. I think it should be. And that's why this is a podcast, not the rules committee. Second thing, I'm going to jump down to Edwin Diaz came back. Good to see him back. And I wanted to see Zach's experience with his entrance. How cool was it? Was it electric? Well, I know you. I think it was tied, or you guys were losing.
Yeah, but he's pitched twice, and we haven't been winning, which stinks. obviously for multiple reasons, but I would say the coolest thing is on opening day when they announced everybody, and everybody was kind of like talking about it as they were getting down the line. We're like, oh my God, we're almost at Edwin. We're almost at Edwin. And like when they announced Edwin, it was just like 0 to 100 like that. Like as soon as they said a number and like, you know, number 39, everybody was going nuts. And it was, I mean, the guy, he didn't pitch all last year, which I kind of forgot about because I saw, you know, he's pitching in spring. I was like, oh shit, that's right. But everybody says it's like, you know, if you get taken out of the game, obviously you're going to be in the dugout, but like, make sure if you're winning and he's coming in, make sure you get a front row seat to it because it is, it's stupid. And we got new lights too. So they're the, you know, the LED lights everybody has now, and it's coordinated with his song. And, you know, last night was cool. It was tied in the ninth inning and he was coming in and was like, man, just if we were winning.
Still a cool experience though.
Yeah, dude, it's sick. It's just, it's almost tough because everybody wants to video record it on their phone and everything instead of clapping, you know, but like, obviously if you're going to see it once, like, yeah, I would record it too. You know, like I wish I could have my phone in there and be like, this is fucking sick. Mm-hmm.
What we got to do though is we got to get one person each group who's videoing and then everyone else clap.
Just airdrop it. Yeah. Just airdrop.
Yeah. There you go.
But I mean, he's just so electric. Ian, have you faced him? Different?
Not that fun.
Like DeGrom different? Just like, he's throwing to one spot for the most part, just like down and away. It's either going to keep going or it's 98.
Well, the hard part is that it's like, the heater jumps. He does that crazy thing where he's basically jumping off the mound.
Yeah.
The heater's firm. But it's kind of, it's got some like, I don't know, the heater's firm and then the slider is also firm.
Firm.
And it is moving. And so he's a tough AB. He's a tough AB. Both pitches come out of the same spot and go two different ways. It's just not the most fun. I think the last time I faced him, I just like threw me like a 2-1 slider or something, and I just ground out to second, like a little sad. He doesn't really walk a lot of guys either.
That's what's impressive about him, is like, it's not like he's coming in and like he'll walk the bases loaded and then he'll strike out the side. It's like, no, it's usually just like all three, you're done. Like, I'm gonna go 1-2-3 and we're gonna get out of here.
I've only faced him once. It was the bottom of the 11th inning. It's actually to end the game. That sucks.
He threw me a
first pitch slider in at 92 miles an hour. That's fun. I fouled it off. Felt like a good swing. Took a 91 mile an hour slider in the dirt, and then he threw me another one at 91 at the bottom, and I roll. Oh, I hit a ground ball up the middle. Lindor made a great play. I hate that for myself, and I'm out. So that was my bat against him. Really fun. Really a lot of. It was great.
Another quick reliever note, since we're playing him too, but like, it stinks that we're playing him. So Jason Foley,
friend of the pod,
yes, is the most underrated. His name is going to blow up because I think he's going to start getting more save opportunities, but like, he's sitting 99 to 101 with like 17 to 19 inches of horizontal. And it's just like, guys are turning around. Like, wait, you guys were like, he's undrafted. Like, you guys played at the same college. I'm like, yeah, like that's it. Guys are coming back and they're just like, what?
I'm gonna have to reach out to him, get him to be a driveline guy. He's a tread guy right now. I got to get him over here.
He and
can I just say one thing really quick about Foley? The pitch that he won off him? What?
Did he one for one off him or something?
I don't think I faced him, but oh. the pitch that he threw to Starling, he went, it was 0-2
down
against Starling, and he throws him a 99 mile an hour sinker down and in off, like basically to his foot that he swung at. Like, that pitch is gross.
Dude, Zach, would you say, and this isn't a knock, but like, there's probably a good chance that if you started the game, you'd probably get pinch hit for against him. Are you kind of happy you don't have to face him? Or do you want the chance because he's one of your best friends?
No, I want to face him, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's funny, everyone's like, oh man, I want Foles and Zach to face each other. And I'm like, yeah, me too.
You kind of look around like,
yeah, I'd love that.
No, I do. Like, it would just obviously mean a lot more.
Facing each other too?
In the big leagues, bro. Like,
so cool.
Two of three guys to come from that school.
Pios.
Be in the big leagues in the same, you know, same class, everything. But like, dude, he truly is, I would say, the most underrated relief pitcher in baseball. Like, his sinker is like metrically one of the best pitches in baseball.
Is he the closer or is Lang right now?
I mean, kind of back Foles and forth. Foles has had two saves. Through last
saying,
night,
saying,
night.
Saying he might be the guy.
Yeah, and he's at that point where he knows it too. Where he's like, yeah, like
he knows he's nasty.
He's just like, I'm gonna throw 101 by you in 30 degrees, and it's like, it's all good.
I'll tell you what. He better not get too big of a head if we ever want to have him back on, though. Like, now that he's going to be this big star, like,
I agree.
Don't try and like big league us now. I'll be pissed.
No. Right, he's good. Right, come on.
That's your boy.
Come on.
Before we go to the next topic,
I got his phone number too. Now we're boys.
Before we go to the next topic, Bruce Bolt. Bruce Bolt.us. Bruce Bolt.us. There's been Bruce Bolt everywhere. Bruce Bolt's all over the big leagues. Our good friend Christopher Morel is wearing a Bruce Bolt sleeve. Got Bruce Bolt everywhere. My Bruce Bolt batting gloves are looking pretty good. They're looking pretty good. Okay, BruceBolt.us. They got game hats you can customize for your team. They got a little bit of stretch fit. They're breathable. They're sweat resistant. BruceBolt.us. I got my gloves just went back in stock. Got a big shipment in. I got my baby blues in to the locker. Got my white baby blue, got my all baby blue. Zach's rocking his, getting knocks in the show. BruceBolt.us. Dakota,
how many more things do you have?
You got more things?
Three, but like one of them is a very quick one. So I'll just say that right now. I'll say the quick one right now. Quick one right now. I'm excited because I get to see Ian play baseball next weekend.
Oh my
Friday, God. Saturday, Sunday, he's in town. The Cubbies come to town.
Are you going to come to the hotel and hang?
Yeah. I mean, I was literally going to say that to you. I was like, I work Friday and Saturday and you have a day game Sunday. So I'm like, if you want to hang out Saturday after the game, probably. Well,
Only time you would hang out with me. Like,
I'd come hang out Friday night.
You're telling me you wouldn't come Friday night to hang out?
No.
Before you go to work? Like, that's your.
No, I will. I meant more like I was thinking like, oh, we can go get lunch. And I'm like, I work. We can't go get lunch. But we can hang out at night. Yep. After the Friday game, for sure.
Because I think that'd be a real fun time.
I think if you're giving me tickets, I got no choice but to hang out with you. I get to hang out with you. I have the opportunity to.
Yep.
Don't have
you,
to.
In return for the tickets, you'll have to.
I'll spend time with you.
You'll have to grind through hanging out. So
I may have jinxed it myself, though, because I told you like before opening day, I was like, I hope Steele throws one of those games so I could watch him. Good friend. And I was like, dang it.
Nice going.
You kind of messed that up, huh?
But yeah, I'm excited for that. Excited to see you, Nico, the GOAT, Yan Gomes. Maybe most excited about Yan Gomes, no offense. I know Zach would be. A lot of guys.
I gotta plan some golf in Seattle. I gotta work on that.
Ian, you come here soon too, huh?
We got a Thursday off today. Yep, then our next trip is Boston, New York, which is a great trip. We actually got four with you, Shorty.
Wait, you'll be in Seattle Thursday?
Yeah.
I'm off Thursdays.
Don't play golf?
Are we golfing?
Oh, my God.
We might have to get around it.
All right. I'm going to start working on it.
Okay, I was like.
You're off? Like, you're off?
I have nothing to hold up.
Okay. All right. This is not a conversation for the pod, but I love it for the pod.
But I'm glad we...
We're gonna connect after this.
Yes.
We're gonna figure this out. Zach's gonna be really jealous. What's your next topic?
We have to talk about the Yankees road unis. Those things look like they were in buckets of rain.
Because of the sweat.
It was Rodon especially, but like even Judge, that. Like that was crazy.
I just want to say something about this really quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I'm a big supporter of Major League Baseball, and I'm very positive about everything. Wicks,
you say it like you mean it now.
Wicks wore the gray, and he sweat right through that thing. I thought they were supposed to be like
breathable.
This is all performance based. It's definitely not to be save money. It's a performance thing. Wicks is drenched. Like Rodon. Like, what are we doing?
That was crazy. That's insane. This is Major League Baseball.
Like, I know that it's Texas and it's inside both of those games, you know, but it's not 115 degrees in St. Louis in the middle of summer. Okay.
No.
It's like 70 degrees inside in Texas. So when it's 115 in St. Louis, what's it going to look like?
It's crazy. It's something. I don't know. I don't know how they fix it. Are the whites fine?
I mean, yeah, it's white. Cold. I mean, you're not gonna be able to see it, but like it's gonna be the same issue.
Like, have you noticed? I don't know if you're really a sweaty guy though. Like, have you noticed anyone?
I'm not super sweaty, but they are. I mean,
like the materials.
They were supposed to be more breathable than they're not. They're less breathable.
Mm, that's tough.
Can a guy like Rodon, like, do they have enough jerseys for him to, like, if he wanted to?
He can switch.
So, like,
they usually always have one, like, down in the tunnel waiting for
him. And if he wants five, like, he could switch every inning. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've played with guys that have sweat. So I'm sure in the big leagues they could do this even more. But I've had guys I've played with even in, like, the minors. Like, they'll just wear, like, a T-shirt for their warm-ups. Like, they're like, I'm not putting on the jersey yet. Like, it's going to be soaked by the time the game even starts.
I mean, Lester would have a backup jersey. He would switch at least once a game, if not twice,
yeah.
Where he would switch. He would switch once, and then if he needed to, they would either have just another one going, or they would wash that one and dry it before he needed another. Like, he would always go through two in the summer, guaranteed. But, like, that was bad.
That's crazy.
And they don't have... Listen, I don't want to get on a jersey rant, but like the Cardinals don't have their baby blues. Like, if you order new pants, like if you need new pants, they won't be ready till the end of May. Like, there's just like,
that's wild. That just can't happen.
It's the and like you. So like, I don't want to sound bad. I'm going to sound bad, but in the big leagues, if you blow your pants out, so if you slide and your pants rip, you get new pants.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. You just get new pants.
You get them by like the next inning sometimes if you really need
them. Yes, because it's the big leagues and you can't have holes in your pants. And like they don't patch the pants up. They don't put a patch on them. Like, you get new pants and those ones go away forever.
And the ones with the patch go down to the minors.
Yes, but now we're going to have to, you're going to have patch pants because there's no new ones coming.
That's wild.
Wait, so they're going to be playing for like weeks with just patches on their pants?
I would just watch and see if you start seeing patches. And like, some teams do patch pants now. Like, there are teams that patch pants now and they don't like always give like brand new pairs of pants.
But there's sometimes like if it's a white, they'll cut like a square out and they'll patch it that way. Like, it doesn't look terrible. It's not like the minor leagues where they
notice it on
especially on whites, you don't really notice. Gray, you can see because sometimes there's like a different shade of gray and you can see all the stitching. But like, for the most part, white is easier to patch up that way. But like in the minor leagues, bro, like they would take it to a tailor or whoever and they would do it the next day. You're like, all right, this is great, but I look like
shit. You have patches. Yeah, you have patches everywhere. But like, I blew out my grays and in Texas, like, only got two pairs.
Yeah, looks like pants up coming soon.
Yeah. I don't have shorties.
Oof.
In order.
Zach, do you have some?
No.
I hate that for you, and you know I hate that. We're gonna move on though. I'm not gonna get angry. I'd love to see you in pants up. I think you look like a better ball player in pants up. I think it fits you more. I think you're trying to be somebody you're not.
What's your next topic?
His notes. I was going to say how good the Yankees have started.
I have a couple things. I was going to get Tom going. Tom. Mm-hmm.
Hello.
On a scale of one.
What am I in therapy?
To a billion, how much are they going to pay Juan Soto?
No. On a scale of one to like madly in love, how much do you love Juan Soto?
Juan Soto has the number one place in my heart.
Yes.
I mean, the office has so to be good. Buzzing about Juan Soto. You guys have to be like, this is what we've been missing. A left-handed bopper that can't get out. Like, this is the guy.
And he can hose guys at home, too.
Dude, looking at Jimmy and Jake's tweets about Juan Soto's outfield defense through four games is cracking me up. They're just, like, in full Juan Soto bliss right now.
I mean, Jimmy said, which is true, you know, this is the first time, obviously, a lot of Yankee fans get a chance to watch him day to day. Obviously, there's a difference between watching a guy, you know, checking in at bats and watching him every day. His approach, I mean, obviously, his approach has been talked about to death, but my God, his approach is impressive. And it's
so good. He's a special player.
There's just, he doesn't give up easy outs. There's never a time that I've watched him so far as a Yankee where I'm like, ah, bad at bat from Soto. Every at bat, you're like, this guy's going to give you a really good at bat. And then, you know, I mean, sometimes that matters for a team, especially when you're trying to, you know, get deeper into the bullpen, trying to drive the starter's pitch count. Guys who can have good at bats and string those together, like you string him and Judge and Rizzo in the middle of that Yankees lineup, those are guys who can stack good at bats together, and that matters.
He doesn't swing at balls. He does not swing at balls. He refuses. And, like, for him to grind through, like, 6, 7, 8 pitch at bat with a walk or a hit or however it ends, and then Judge comes up next, like, there's just not a really a break for the pitcher. And when the guy in front of Judge is putting together those types of ABs where the pitcher is grinding, because when Juan Soto comes up, like, the pitcher is trying to execute every single pitch on the corner. And, like, if they miss by an inch, he's not swinging at it. And it is a brutal at bat. Then after it's over, guess what? You get Aaron Judge, who is arguably the best right-handed hitter in the game and also refuses to swing at balls. Like, and if you leave one over the middle, he's going to hit a homer.
You want to throw up?
I would love for Judge to stop getting the strike that's been called at his ankle for the last 4.5 years. I would love for them to once look at the fucking tape and learn, oh, this guy's actually 6'7". I didn't know. His knees are actually way higher than most other guys.
There was a bad one tonight, huh?
Yeah, obviously he's always gotten this, but, like, there's been two pretty egregious ones to start the year, and Yankees fans are already pretty hot.
I wonder if it's his pants that, because he wears pants up, like, no, I'm like, Hunter Pence used to do it, like, I think that's like an illusion, truly.
You got to put the pants above the knee.
Like, the way that his are below the knee, and, like, they may base it off of that. Because, like you said, like, it hasn't changed in years. Yeah. And, like, I understand it's hard. It's a hard thing, but, like, it always seems like a recurring theme with him where there's always a few egregious, maybe a week, like, you know, and he's at the point where he's just like, whatever. Like, watching, he doesn't say anything really unless it's a huge spot. But yeah, no, I'm curious if he were to do the new style and above the knee, to see if that would change anything.
Can you imagine how hilarious that would look on Aaron Judge's big ass to be above the knee?
That would be hilarious.
It'd be comical.
Juan Soto doesn't even turn 26 until the end of October. He's 25 years old.
He's going to get
$1 billion. He might get $1 billion.
Going to get paid.
A billion. It might be a billion. Let's not start this all up. But he's better of a hitter than Shohei Ohtani. I get, like, Shohei's going to pitch at some point, but, like, Soto is, I'd say, the best hitter in baseball right now. Top three.
Soto's never had a year under 400 on base. Like, it's hilarious. Like, he just gets on base.
He's going to hit 45 homers or more, and he's going to have a 400 OBP. Like,
if you're the Yankees, I'm not kidding. It feels like he likes being a Yankee.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even played at the stadium yet. And that place is going to love him. Like,
if you can lock him in and lock in a 2-3 Soto Judge, like, you got to do it. You have to.
He's one of those guys too. Like, everyone loves baseball. Well, for the most part, everyone loves baseball. It's in the MLB. He's a guy that's fun to watch. Like, he looks like he's enjoying his time on the baseball field.
You know, wouldn't you?
Yes, but that, no, but that's what I mean. Like that
fucker so doesn't cool. get out.
Like how cool is that to see though? Like
everybody guys, else is getting out 70% of the time. He's getting out 60% of the time.
Well, I'd have a fucking smile on my face every day too.
But you know what I mean? Like Thomas, but like I guess more a question for you. Like how like that's just refreshing, I feel like, to see like someone that's like this dude just loves being out there. Like he's having a blast playing baseball.
The Yankees for the last 18 months, I would say, really since the start, like that midway point where they opened incredibly in 22 and then were kind of ass the second half of the season. And then obviously last year was not great. They've had some bad kind of vibes around the team. It's nice to have someone who's the best player on the team who's also just incredibly fun. And it, like, because like last year, a lot of the stories were like Garrett Cole's fighting Billy Crystal before the game because he messed up. You know, that's kind of stuff is like not the most positive stuff. This year, it's like Juan Soto throws out a guy in opening day and the Yankees win. Like, that's just a way. And they swept the Astros.
Good games, too. Those were good games.
They were really good games. I will be curious to see, not that he is by any means like like he would pout or anything. I am curious to see how he is with New York media when inevitably, because every team does it, the Yankees go through a skid. You know what I mean? Like, say they're struggling and everyone's like, oh, like, what's going on? Like, they're asking him a million questions post-game.
He'll be fine.
And, like, everyone gets – no, and I know he will. I'm just curious to see just because, I mean, I'm sure, Zach, you've had a taste of it, and Ian in Chicago, like, that's a pretty big media market, too. Like, he's going to get a billion questions. Like, if they lose two games in a row, they'll be like, what's wrong? Like, what's happening?
It is crazy how much more media there is, obviously. Just, like, a lot more people
mm-hmm.
around.
Just bodies.
Bodies, bro.
We walked in for opening day, and I was like, holy shit, there's ooh. A lot of bodies.
Dude, even that's in what spring, I was man.
That's what I was. That was my last thing, Ian. I was going to ask you, how was obviously you opened in Texas, but how was the first time back in Wrigley? Obviously, you've done it a couple of years, but probably still pretty sick.
Yeah, it's always awesome. It's always special. It's always cold. the really impressive part was that there was 40,000 people there. Like it was 38, 42 degrees. It was cold and. There's 40,000 people there. It was a great atmosphere. It was tough, like wind blown in conditions, and we didn't score until I don't know the fifth or sixth. And you know the fans are still like on their feet, excited. And then when we finally broke through, like just it's great to hear that song, man. It's great to hear "Go Cubs Go." It's a really special thing, and I'm lucky.
That's what's special about Wrigley, Fenway. Yankee Stadium, I'd say too, like it could be 25 degrees and snowing and it's going to be 40,000 people. Like it does, like people dude, love their team.
Dude, they today, love them. We didn't have the same attendance today. Maybe we had 20, 30,000 people today. 30 is probably high, probably closer to 20 because it was cold and rainy and cold. And we were winning 10-0 and then it was 10-2. And in the seventh inning, Bellinger's down 1-2 count, man on first or something. And the crowd just out of nowhere, starts going, Cody, Cody, in a 1-2 count out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he hits a pump, you know, homer off the video board. Rushed. It was electric. It was electric. And it was in a 10-2. That's like the most special thing about Wrigley is like, in a 10-2 game and we're winning and it's great, but like in a 10-2 game when people could leave and go home because it's cold and miserable, they started chanting and then he hits a homer and it was just like an electric moment. Like it's just like those things are cool.
And that's what I was going to say, not to get like sentimental or anything, but not that you by any means take it for granted, but like that's so sick for you that like whenever you're done playing, you can look back and be like, I played at Wrigley for however many years and like,
yeah, it'll be such a crazy thing. Like it's pretty nuts. And like they gave KB a standing O, his first at bat back, like the respect mm-hmm. for like what he did and how, you know, amazing he was in his time in Chicago and huge impact that he made. Like,
is that his first time back?
No,
but they
he
just
will get he will like get and he should get like he deserves a standing ovation his first at bat at Wrigley every single season until he's done.
Same,
like
same for Riz.
Yeah, Riz
same
has come
for Jay
back.
Hay.
Riz has come back for the first time this year, but like,
oh, which that's going to be
bananas, dude. It'll be bananas. But KB, like rookie of the year, MVP, World Series, three-time All-Star there. Like, he deserves a standing O every single time he comes back to that ballpark. And
I did not realize that Rizzo's not going to be back. Wow.
Yeah, Rizzo hasn't been back yet. This was his first time. It'd be pretty cool. But, like,
KB, yeah.
He deserves it. Very, very deserved. The fact that the fans give that to him every time, like, that's why they are so awesome, because they do, like, they appreciate and respect the history.
I bet, because Tigers, you guys went to Detroit last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I bet Javi, he should and will get a standing O.
Can I just say this before it happens?
Yeah.
When Javi comes back to Wrigley, I bet you he gets 10 hits in the series.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, that'd be spot on. Two pumps, probably.
Not kidding.
He's made for it, man.
Made for
that place.
Real
quick, last thing on that.
Last thing.
When Rizzo comes back, you got to get in Lester's ear and have Lester be in town for that.
That's good. That'd be Benny sick. Benny Pro. Benny Zobrist was in town today.
I think Rizzo coming back, if you could fit 60,000 people in Wrigley, I think you could fill 60,000 people
for Rizzo's return. With the Yankees, it'll be packed. But they will play his walkout song for him. I'm almost positive.
You should.
And his walkout for Tom, it's not the same as his Yankees walkout.
I know his Cubs are walking. You know, I was
intoxicated.
Yeah.
It's so electric. When they play that for him in his first at bat, I will be in left field. Like, because we were in the dugout, like, every time he would come up, we'd be like, and we would clap with it, and then the whole dugout would do the woo, and, like, the entire stadium will do that for him, and it will be absolutely electric.
Sneaky, I almost got chills thinking, but, like, you're going to get chills, I bet, out in left field.
I might cry. I might actually cry.
Yeah.
I will be emotional.
It's hard to explain how much he means. I was going to say, it's hard to explain how much he means to Cubs fans, because he was the first guy there. You know, he was the guy there at the start of that. Like, he was there when it was, you know, 2012, 2013, when it was the dark days. And, you know, the fact that he was, like, this cornerstone of that and wanted to be the captain and all that, like, as much as I love seeing him play for the Yankees, it still feels weird sometimes. It's like, man, this guy, you know, there should have been a statue, and there should have been a captain, and, like, he should have been a Cub for life. You know, he's one of those guys that has a really special connection with, like, a fan base, obviously all those guys in that 2016 team do. Like, I was at Illinois State then. It's hard to describe the scenes that night. I did a story about a 98-year-old man who went to his first Cubs game in 1932, and he broke down crying talking about how much that meant to him, the 2016 series. It gets me emotional just thinking about it. I'm not even a Cubs fan. I went to see, I remember I saw Chapman pitch in 2016 down the stretch in September. One of the most electric experiences I've ever seen in person. One of those games where you're like, holy shit, Chapman's throwing 104 like every other pitch, and the place is jumping, and the Cubs are about to make the World Series run. What that team means to that city, I don't think people understand unless you live there. It's incredible.
That's what I was going to say, the same thing, Tom. Like Ian was saying, like, obviously KB, MVP, rookie of the year, incredible accolades. Like, Javi was a stud. Like, Willie Contreras was a stud. Like, all those guys. But, like, Rizzo was the guy. It was like, he was, like you said, he was from the beginning. He was, like, the leader. And then he was the one that like, broke them through.
He was there longer than everybody else, too. Like, he was there for 8.5 years. And he was the captain, and he should have had a C on his chest. And, like, he, you know, he signed the extension. He was the one that actually, like, committed to being there long term. And, like, he also put up, like, crazy numbers, like, bananas numbers. He's top 10 in Cubs homers all time, I'm pretty sure. Like, he's all over the Cubs history books, and was a huge part of that team. Like, it'll be really, really cool when he comes back.
He might get strike out his first at bat for pitch clock, because it's going to be such a long standing O. The ump's going to be like, you're out, man. Like, you got to go. It's been 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
When is that? Sorry.
I can look it up. I didn't know if you knew off the top of your head.
I don't know off the top of my head, which makes me a bad friend.
I just want to make sure.
I think it's in September. I actually think it's late.
Oh, it's later. It's
September.
September 6th.
Oh, okay.
Yep. September 6th. I'm a good friend. I said September. we should get to the Sloan screen times for the people. Sloan. You know what I'm upset about before I talk about Sloan?
What?
This is the first time that I've ever recorded a podcast with a legit background behind me and nobody commented on it.
I'm going to be honest. I noticed it.
I'm sleeping.
The first thing I noticed was Zach's background looked familiar, and I was gonna be like, is that like his painting? Like, I thought he had it from like last year. I was like, is that Zach's painting? And then I forgot he was back home with Fallon.
Home, brother.
Like, that's right. Ian, I did notice it, and it looks very official and professional.
Looks nice. Proud of you. Where's your gold glove?
Facts.
It'll be there at some point.
That'd be such a flex to put that like in the background when we're recording.
You could have two of them. You could have one up in the left corner, one on the right corner.
It's a good point. Sloan that was my issue. Is the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. The company's at the forefront of the green building movement and provides smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions by manufacturing water efficient products, including flushometers, faucet sink systems, and soap dispensers. Soap dispensers and fixtures for commercial, industrial, and institutional markets worldwide. To learn more, visit sloan.com. I had somebody chant, this is no free ads. I had somebody chant in the stands today, ERC, ERC. that cracked me up.
That's so good.
It actually made me laugh.
4:15.
Zach, yours is impressive for that long of a rain delay, honestly.
Boys are playing basketball in the clubhouse.
Ooh, I love that.
Mini hoop.
3 hours, 6 minutes for myself. I am also 3 hours behind you guys.
5 hours, 18 minutes.
3:31, but I'd like to take it as a win because you're so
2 hours ahead. Yeah, I'm 2 hours behind you.
I mean, in the next 2 hours, you will spend 30 minutes on your phone.
Oh, I'll the next 2 hours, I might spend 120 minutes on my phone.
That was a good episode. I'd like to say it is nice to have regular season baseball back because that was a nice episode.
When I was for the show,
proud of all of you.
It's nice to have actual topics to talk about and not like, why is nobody signing? It was nice to have actual games to talk about instead.
I agree. It is nice to have Mike Trout homers to talk about. And Tom, I will not take any Mike Trout slander on this podcast.
Not Mike Trout slander. I want
that was slander.
150 games.
That was slander.
I wanted to play 150 games. That's it. He's obviously the best.
I guess we got to get him on so he can defend himself.
You want him to play 150 games in a Yankee uniform?
I mean,
imagine that outfield. My God. That's episode 202 of the Compound Podcast, presented by Connect Roasters. Go to connectroasters.com for all your coffee needs. Code Compound Club and code Compound 15. I got them right twice. I'll see you next week.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.